This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Good evening, everyone. It is Sunday night and that can only mean one thing. Yes, it's extra time. The last word on the weekend's action concerning Wolverhampton Wanderers. We will be obviously talking all about the game against Nottingham Forest. We'll be talking about everything that can come up to think of during the game, including our man of the match, our performance ratings and moment of the day. Well, I think we should also probably have a time to reflect a little bit today on the title race. And the relegation race, really, with the results that have been happening over the weekend. We'll be talking everything in between. And at the end, our fan pundits, I'm going to be asking them and you, so have a think about it, to give me your three favourite all-time top 10 movies and for everyone to watch and why. That's what we'll be doing towards the end. We are doing this in one hit today, so it's just a one-half show or a full show. That's not going to be broken into two. And I'm very, very pleased with that to let you know on the guests that we've got tonight. First of all, please welcome back young Lewis. How are you doing, mate?
Okay, mate. Are you? You all good?
Yes, fantastic. In fact, I've heard today from your bro, Lucas, that he has won his semi-final. In the team for the team, and he's got to the final.
Yeah, he's had the semi-final today. I think the score finished 5-2. So, yeah, he'll go to the final of that competition. Yeah,
a comprehensive semi-final victory, that's for sure. And how's your weekend been?
It's all right. I enjoyed. Went to the game yesterday. Enjoyed that. I went to the pub last night and then just been doing some work this afternoon, so it's been okay. Yeah,
fantastic. We've also got back with us tonight, looking incredibly sharp. Without the stubble, it is Boston Brian. How you doing, mate?
Fine, Dave. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, recovered. Yeah, from yesterday.
Are you down in Southampton?
I am, yeah. I'm just in my conservatory at the moment.
And the sun is setting where you are. It's a beautiful blue backdrop that you've got.
25 plus 8, yeah.
And how's your weekend?
Yeah, disappointed with the game yesterday, but, watched the whole game on a stream. Frustrated, really, but fine. Other than that, fine, watched all the games today, actually.
It's been very interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit, actually, at some point in the show, because I think it's that time of year where we probably should reflect on that. But, yeah, good to have you back, Brian. We've also got Jogger Josh. He's back with us this evening. Are you at the match yesterday, mate?
I was indeed. I was. It was a good day. It was all right. So I enjoyed my day with my mates and my brother. So it was a good day all in all with the people I was with. So it was all right.
Fantastic. And we've also got joining this evening, he is back. It is Sutty. How you doing, mate?
Good evening, David.
Good to have you back with you. I know everyone's missed you. You've had a lot of stuff to deal with over the last three or four weeks. Everyone's been asking most weeks and Sutty coming on. So it's good to be having you return with us this evening.
Nice to be back.
And were you at the game yesterday?
No, mate. I've had a few weeks off, but should be back to normal from next week.
That's fine, but you've got to take the game in. Now, listen, before we get stuck into it, I had a very interesting day yesterday because I was asked to go on stage at the Forest Fan Park and took Professor Paul with me. We had lovely burgers and chips and a couple of nice drinks at the Fed. So there's a lot of Forest fans that were in there. So that was interesting before the game. A lot of Wolves fans were there as well. So that was quite interesting. And we enjoyed something a little bit different before the game. Going into the match, the team's obviously come out. Matthias Kühne starts the game for us. Wang Hee-chan on the bench. And Lewis, you know, when you see the team come out, what's your thoughts on that before we start?
I think, apart from Mount Nuri, the team looked as strong as it has done in the past few weeks. It was good to see the injured players come back in to the squad. Obviously, Wang was on the bench, but, you know, having those players back that we'd been missing in the past few weeks where we had struggled for form, it was good. And I thought, you know, before the game, when you see the squad available to Gary, I know he spoke about only having, I think, 12 players, 12 senior players to choose from. I think that's what he said. I still feel like it was as strong as a side as we have had in the past few weeks. And I was quite confident going into the game before seeing that you know, we might get a win here.
Brian, what was your thoughts?
Well, we saw the team, yeah.
Yeah, the team.
As Lewis said, I was delighted that Kühne was starting. I assumed that he wouldn't be playing the whole game. You know, he'd probably share it with Wang, because obviously it's Wang's first game back. But I was disappointed that Ait Nouri was been our best player the last few weeks, hasn't he? You know,
well, it just seems a late decision not to play him, because apparently he did travel with the team and then it was a late decision not to play him.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they're dropping like flies, aren't they? We can't afford any more long-standing injuries, can we? We can't afford any more. So it's probably best to wrap them up, really, you know, now at the moment. But yeah, I mean, I think we did miss him yesterday. Although Kühne is just world-class, isn't he? I mean, thank God. I'll retract that, because I know Keith's a bit... He's a bit reticent about you calling players world class, but he is our best player, isn't he? I mean, that's you know, he showed that yesterday. He showed why we paid so much money for him yesterday. I mean, that shot he had, probably his best attempt on goal was the one that went over the bar. You know, God, I mean, that was a fantastic shot. That was. It would have been a foot lower. It would have been in. You know, but. But yeah, I was pleased with this performance. It was a bit frustrated. You know, we kept on giving the ball away. I think you know, we get into good positions and then we give silly balls away. But well, so did they as well, really, didn't they? You know, Forrest did the same as well.
Bit sloppy. And Josh, you get to the City ground. The team's come out. We were obviously interesting to see. I had a feeling Kühne would start and get about 60 minutes because he's had 15. He's had 35, 40. The next step is for him to start. Chani started the same sort of process with the 15 minutes that he had, which is good. And I thought he made a difference when he came on. But what were your thoughts when you saw the team?
It's like the last couple of weeks, still a bit... umming and ahhing on what we think is going to happen once the team is announced. Are we going to score? I wasn't entirely sure, really, going into it. I was suddenly thinking, oh, Forest has always been a bit of a stomping ground for us. Glad, like the other two have said, when Cunha started, I thought that was a bit of hope, but can we make it gel? Because he didn't, the gel and the togetherness of the team wasn't really there when he come on the other week. But the last few weeks have just been flat, really. I think in general, it's just like you just want the season to be done. I wasn't too optimistic before the game, but I'll take a point with the way we played.
Yeah, and Sutty, your thoughts on the lineup? Puna starting, Wang back into the in the squad.
You got 12 fit senior players, Dave, and you can't really do a lot more, can you? Let's be honest. I mean, one word screams out at us since end of February, and that's depth. We have had multiple arguments and discussions about depth, what could have been done, what should have been done. All too late now, Dave, because nothing can be done until June the 10th, is it? We have got to go with what we've got. But it did look much better with a focal point up front, not a young kid. Unfortunately, Dave, you've seen what I've said in group chat. I don't think any of our kids will make regular Premier League players. That's just my own opinion. I've seen a lot of kids come in to other clubs at their age and hit the ground running. And ours just look miles off to me. It's only a personal opinion, of course. It could be proved wrong, get proved wrong on a lot of things. But we looked, how can I put it, pedestrian at times yesterday, with the odd bright spark of the Brazilian up top, who is prepared to run at people. And when you run at people, as I've said to you in previous episodes, it frightens the life out of centre-halves and defenders. And if you've not got that pace and that drive, it's such an easy game to play against. And we haven't had it for weeks, have we, let's be honest. And unfortunately, if we'd have had Cunha for 70 minutes against Coventry, we'd have won that game. But we've got no depth.
Well said. And I just want to basically say a big thank you, of course. It's running down the bottom there, the little ticker tape to Creation Wolf. They power extra time supporters. If you've got a brand or a company, get in touch with them because they do deliver the industry's latest and most advanced digital solutions. And they will take your brand and online presence and digital capabilities to the next level. The link is in the description below. And just to let you know, if you do want to join in the chat, all you have to do, it's really, really simple. All you have to do is hit that subscribe button and then you'll be able to join in the chat, which is fantastic. We've got plenty to talk about tonight. So, Lewis, obviously we've talked about our pre-match feelings. I don't know how many of you watched my preview. I said 2-2. I said it on the vlog, 2-2. It ended up being 2-2. I based that off the fact that, you know, the depth of squad that we got, the fact that Forest were at home, you know, their crowd does get behind them. They're desperate for the points. They're going to scrap and battle. It was an interesting game. There was a couple of touches of quality. The Kuna goal was certainly a fantastic touch of quality that individual quality. I mean, literally, he took it from out his own half, ran the ball up the field, took it into the penalty earlier, turned two defenders inside out, and then hit it top bins. I mean, that has got to be, for me, a contender for Wolves' goal of the season, ain't it, Lewis?
Yeah, I think it was such a individual moment of quality, and it's something that we've definitely lacked the past few weeks. And, you know, he has shown it in other games this season. And, you know, if he can continue to do that, you know, and obviously not every game, but, you know, consistently throughout the season, we've got a really good player in Cunha. I still believe, for me personally, he's a second striker. I don't see him as an out-and-out number nine. You know, I spoke a lot when we had the players available about that kind of the system that Gary seemed to like, when Wang would play on the left and then kind of move next to him and Aknuri would push onto left midfield. I think that's where you see the best of him. Obviously, it was a fantastic goal yesterday, but I think you get a much more well-rounded performance from him when he's got someone else with him up there. But yeah, I think overall it reminded me a little bit of the West Ham game, because I thought in the first half we were probably on top, even though at halftime we went in 1-1, I thought we were the better side. But then in the second half, I thought we just tired a bit, and they looked more likely to nick it, I thought. Similar, you know, against the West Ham game, first half we were very good, second half they came out a bit stronger. And I think it could be that the squad is just really tired. Obviously, a lot of these players now, they've played a lot of the games, you know, and a lot of the portions of the games, you know. Often you'll see players at clubs like Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal, you know, they'll make 15, 20 appearances, but they may only play 10 minutes a game. All of our players that have played that many games have played almost all the game, because you can't sub out a player when you've got no one to kind of bring on who's almost of a similar quality.
Well, the last 10, 15 minutes, you bring in Nathan Fraser and Chirua on, I think, who's they're both academy kids.
And they're bringing on Origi and Nuno Tavares. So, yeah. The quality is very different. I know, obviously, they didn't have as big of an impact as maybe Forest fans would have wanted them to, but, you know, they're different levels of players, really. One's come through the Benfica Academy, the other's been in Champions League finals and scored massive goals for Liverpool, so...
And what's your thoughts on Sutty's comment about that he can't see that any of the academy kids are going to cut it in the Premier League? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You've seen plenty of them, and you probably as well. What's your thoughts on that?
I think if they're ever going to, they're going to have to play a lot more than they are. And ultimately, this season would have been the perfect opportunity for them to have had the game time if they were good enough. But even with our tight squad, Gary always looked reluctant to depend on them from the start of games. Obviously, Fraser had a run where he started, and then Leon, he started to play a few, but now he's injured. So I agree. I think it'd be quite a long shot for me to see them consistently starting in a Premier League side. But I think with young players, the most important thing is that they play frequently. So often you'll see clubs such as Arsenal, Man United especially, they will often be really linked with younger players from other clubs, you know, who are doing really well, and then they'll go there for maybe, you know, 10, 15, 20 million, and you won't hear from them again because they're not playing consistently week in, week out. You know, the reason clubs like Manchester United would be interested in you is because you're playing well, and if you don't play, you'll never get to that kind of level. So I think if they are going to get there, they're going to have to play a lot more football. But if they're not going to have the opportunity to do that here, then they're not going to become a top player for us.
Fair play. And Brian, someone who's obviously been in and around an academy setup at Southampton for quite a period of time, you've obviously seen a lot of, you know, path routes through from the academy to in the Southampton academy specifically.
Yeah.
You know, you've had a chance to have a good look at some of these academy players over the last few weeks. How is it stacking up, and what's your thoughts on whether they're going to be making the Premier League, or maybe they will do one day, but they're just not ready yet, and they're going to be going out on some loans next season?
Yeah, it's a very cyclical thing. I tend to agree with Keith at the moment. Carl and myself went to watch the under-21s at Kidderminster on Monday, and we were quite disappointed, really. Fraser, the lad who came on. He plays more
midfield
in a Kuna role, as a number 10. Fraser was up front on Monday. And I'm telling you now, we hardly saw him touch the ball. You know, it was. We went specifically to see what Noah Lamina was like. Yeah.
And what was your opinion on Noah Lamina? Yeah, I've seen him in the press.
Yeah, he's got some pace. He's quite a chunky little lad, you know. He's got very much Mario's build, you know. But he's an out-and-out winger, playing on the left, which was the far side of the pitch to us on the first half, and then he came over this side. And he's got very, very quick feet. He's got some pace as well. Yeah. I'd certainly buy him for £1 million. You know, I think he's worth it. He's worth a gamble for that. But it's not like, like I said, the academy at Southampton, you could tell straight away, you know, because they're all good. They're all good for their level. But breaking into men's football is the biggest thing they'll ever do. Yeah. And at the moment, I'm really worried about Fraser. I really am, because, you know, we were watching him at his level at under 21. It was disappointing on Monday. Whether he's lost confidence, I don't know. Whether this stint he's had in the first team has set him back a little bit, I don't know. Because it was the first time I've seen him live. I've seen him on YouTube a few times. He had the whole games and that. And he looked pretty good. But Monday he looked really off it. Yeah, but. The other lad, number eight. There was number eight. It was Ty Barnett. He looked quite good. He looked quite useful. And there's a couple of the defenders as well. I think the one lad who played right back, he might have been the guy that was on the bench at Newcastle. You know, there was
probably. So there's been a lot of 15-year-olds on the bench recently.
Yeah, I think it was him. He looks very strong. He does. If he's only 15,
Brian, we're talking about strength in depth on our bench. We definitely had strength in depth on our goalkeeper department, because in the bench we had two keepers on the bench.
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
against Norwich.
Yeah. But I'd like to say, from my experience at Southampton, there's a guy who runs the midfield there now, Will Smallbone. I've known Will since he was 15. And as soon as I saw him play, I thought, oh, God, this guy's got a chance. You know, he's an elegant player. He's a tall midfield player.
Who are you on about now?
Will Smallbone. He scored for Southampton yesterday. He's an excellent player. He's a typical example of how a loan should work, yeah? Because he broke into the first team. He was only about 18 or 19 when he was playing for the first team at Southampton. But he wasn't ready, you know, but they didn't want to let him go. So they sent him out to Stoke last season.
Yeah.
And he absolutely ran the show at Stoke last season. And, you know, when Southampton got relegated last year, I said to my mates, they should build the team, bring Will back and build the team around him. Because he knows that level, he knows the championship now. He's had a year there, you know, and it's proved right. You know, he's there now, you know. But I mean, you've got to remember, it's like I say, it's a cyclical thing, and every year people move. From 12 years old, they become 13. They're under 13, they're under 14, they're under 15. They all move up a year, and there's calls at 14, at 16, and then whether you get a pro at sort of 17, yeah. So they always have to let a few players go, because there isn't room for everybody. You know, you can't take everybody on. But there are one or two that might fall through the net, you know, and that will happen to us as well, really. You know, we might get rid of some of these lads that we think are not going to make it. They could make it somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, Fatina, I mean, I know he came through and he scored a wonder goal for Chorley. Isn't he Paris playing in the Champions League for Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. I mean, I didn't really rate him when he was at Wolves. I thought he was very much, you know, he reminded me of Morgan Gibbs-White when he was playing for us. He flattered to deceive, you know. He'd do something good and then he'd give the ball away, you know. That's what I thought. And of course, at the time when he was there, Gibbs-White was injured, wasn't he? He had quite a bad injury for us, you know. So he wasn't anywhere near the squad. But I just thought, do we need to sign him? Because we've got this guy coming through, Gibbs-White. But we all know what happened there, you know what I mean? So we don't need to go into all that again, do we? I mean, yeah. Unfortunately, he scored yesterday, but anyway, going back to academies, you know, I mean, some of the players I've seen for other teams, like Curtis Jones, I've seen Mason Greenwood, unfortunate what's happened to him. Who else did I see? Nathan Teller at Southampton, who's now at
he's a cracking by Leverkusen, he's a cracking player.
I'll tell you something. Kyle Leverkusen just won the Bundesliga today.
Just won it today. Yeah,
17 appearances, something like 6 goals and 10 assists. Yeah. Stupid, I mean, like that.
He's playing. You know, he came off the bench on whatever day it was, Wednesday or Tuesday, for them in the, you know, when they were 0-0, when it was 0-0. You know, he came on and I wouldn't say he actually made the difference, but he's playing at that level. You know,
yeah. Really, on loan at Burnley last season, wasn't he?
And top goal scorer in the championship.
It's interesting, isn't it, how things pad out. Sometimes you think a player's not going to make it, you miss out, and they go on to really good things. Well, and I mean, if you look at Mario Lemina, who's in our team and had a great season, the Southampton, if you talk about when he was at Southampton, he was a very young lad, and the Southampton, a lot of Southampton fans can't recognise the same guys. Sometimes it's just it's development, isn't it?
I could tell you some stories about Mario, you know, because I knew him quite well when he was at Saints. You know, he's a good pro, actually, but he was, you know, a bit of a, you know, he was a lot younger then. But when Saints signed him, he just played in the Champions League final for Juventus. When they, you know, he came off the bench in the Champions League final for Juventus, I think. They got beat, but I can't remember who it was who beat them, actually. Anyway, but they, but he had played there, yeah, yeah, But he's a lot more all-round player now, Mario. He's matured as well, you know. He was a bit of a jack the land, you know. But he's a completely different player, really. Yeah. But go back to Nathan Teller. Saints did get £20 million for him. Yeah, but Leverkusen paid £20 million. That's why they sold him. You know, they. I think if it had only been 10 million, the Saints would have kept him, you know. But they
20 million, though, like, you know, is a bargain. He's probably worth four times that much. Josh, your thoughts and points that you want to make from the game yesterday. And Sutty, there's been a couple of questions for you, which we'll come on to in a second, once we've got Josh's assessment of the game and any points that you'd like to make.
So I just thought that first half, I thought we controlled a bit, but there was that spells again. As soon as it come towards our defence, we just look like a rabbit in headlights sometimes. It was just panic stations. What do we do? Where do we go? It's just the playing. I'd say people like playing out from the back. They mention that quite a lot, and you see it on Twitter. I've got used to it on how we do it now, but sometimes it's just like it's scary. But I think I know with how shallow that stand is in the away end at Forest, you haven't really got much of a sense of depth of play. I mean, my brother kept saying that because there was that one to second half where it was down their left hand corner, our right hand side.
To be fair, Wolves caught Forest out exactly the same way.
Yeah.
Joe Gomez picked up the ball. It's actually on target. It's a good defensive header on the line. And then it comes out to Pablo Sarabia, who
should have buried that.
Snatches it and, you know, misses the goal, really. And he's
just those chances in midfield. We seem to be losing the ball quite a lot yesterday. And the danger was right back on us. We were getting it out of defence. We were putting it into midfield.
Semedo hasn't made a lot of mistakes recently. And he had a good game again. But that one pass, he just passed it straight into their striker.
Yeah.
Who could run onto goal. And he just hit it past the upright, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, that was a pass to absolutely no one. I don't know what he was thinking. Semedo's had a really good season. He had a good game again yesterday, but that was a big mistake. And I think the last few games we've been a bit sloppy.
Yeah. Nothing's sticking. There's the ball's getting around midfield and out of defence, and there's loose balls left, right, and centre. And we just look so slow to the second ball as well every time. Yet, start of the season and mid season, we were winning every second ball.
Yeah, and I think Joe Gomez got taken off in the second half because he was on a yellow, and I think Gary O'Neill was a bit worried he might pick up another red.
Yeah.
And he bought him off. Tommy Doyle, I thought, had another good game yesterday, the way he pings the ball around him, and he just runs and runs and runs. Sutty, we're going to come on to a couple of questions, but, like, your assessment of the game, the way Wolves are playing out, you know, Santiago Bueno looks like he's going to be set for the rest of the season because it looks like... Craig Dawson is going to have to, it was on the bench, but it looks like he's going to have an operation on his groin. So we're going to see a lot more about Santiago Bueno, someone that you've champion. Do you think that's a good opportunity for Craig to have a proper look at, you know, at him at this level, to the run to the end of the season?
Absolutely. I mean, he certainly shouldn't be suffering from fatigue, should he? Because he's only played probably 10 games, so he should be fighting, fitting up for the battle. But going back to... We do look tired. Josh has just said, you know, we look a bit lackluster. And this is, again, it's all down to depth, Dave.
Yeah, 100%. So, there's a lot of pressure on the players to play every minute that they can.
I believe players 1 to 14 in our squad are very good. Right, I might make a couple of, you know, sell a couple and bring it. But in general, 1 to 14 is very good. Now, 14 to 20 is what I would want in a squad. Not 14 to 17, Dave. I want 20 first-team players that are all of a standard that allow us not to go through this, what we've just gone through, because we've basically blown gilt-edged chances to get to the semi-final of an FA Cup and probably finish in the Europa Conference League. And it's all down to lack of depth. Now, the only people that can sort out lack of depth, Dave, is not the manager, it's not the coaches, it's not me, not you, it's the owners. And that is the reality of it. Now, if they decide...
What about Matt Hobbs and the scouting system?
Well, yeah, but they've still got to go to the owners and say, can we buy him? That's how it works at the end of the day. But if we go on with a squad of 17 again next year, you, me, Lewis, Josh, Brian will all be sat here in April next year talking about the same thing over, and it'll just be a vicious circle, because until they get their head around the fact, Dave, that they've got to go out and get more depth, we will keep finishing 17th to 12th. 17th to 12th. Now that might be fine for a lot of people. It might be great. I find it quite boring. Now I'll take it this season, Dave, because I actually thought we were going down.
Yeah.
So
I think to be fair, Keith, I think all of us will take it for this season because of, you know, the absolute flipping shambles of the summer of what was going on, and everyone had us for going down, and you know, okay. It's petering out a little bit towards the end of the season. We've still on more points than last year. We've still got six games to go. We've seen a lot of promise at certain points of the season from a lot of the players. And I think all of us can look at the squad. Like you say, I think 1 to 14, we can look at that 1 to 14 and go, do you know what? That's a bloody good team, that is, who can give anyone a game. But once you start to get a lot of games coming and you start to get towards a certain point where fatigue starts kicking in, that's where the bigger squads for the, you know, are able to cope with that. And we're struggling to cope, you know, you're having to fill the bench with two keepers and academy kids week in. I mean, you can get away with it for a week or two, but ultimately it catches up with you. And
Dave, they did, in all fairness to them, and you'll all know, I'm no fan of this ownership model one bit. But in all fairness to them, they did say we would have to rely on 1 to 14. And then the rest of the squad, which I believe is, what, 23, 24 players, would be made up from under 23s. They did tell us this, Dave. So we knew this. But what we found out, Dave, is our 14 to 25, or whatever it is just not good enough. It's way off the mark. Now, I've just been making a few little notes here, and I've tried to come up with players from our youth system that have actually played either regular championship football or have cut it in the Premier League, whether it be with us or another team. And I can come up with three.
Yeah, go on.
Hugo Bueno, he's still with us.
Yeah.
Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yeah.
And no one can deny that Morgan Gibbs-White, I hate him, Dave, he's a good player. He's probably exactly what we missed.
I agree with that totally as well. Yeah.
And young Giles at fullback. Right. So he played, he was always up in the rankings in the championship for assists and all this. So there's three. That's not a lot, Dave, for an academy like Wolves. Let's be honest, Dave.
What about Kilmer?
He didn't come from the academy, though, did he?
But we brought him in from non-league, and then he came through the system, and
okay. We'll add Kilman. Let's just say, though, Dave, when we're looking at other clubs, your Southamptons and all of these clubs, they bring in loads, Dave.
What about Pedro Neto?
Nah.
He paid £10 million for him that day. No. He's not an academy player for me. I went and watched Taylor Perry play for Shrewsbury, and he was going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Dave, he is shite. And we put all this money into these players, Dave, right?
Yeah.
And I'll give you a good example of somebody that went out on multiple loans as a young lad from the ages of sort of 17 onwards. MK Dons, Millwall, Leicester, all of these teams plying his trade to try and get it. And then he got a chance and he became our England captain. So loans do work. But I don't think that we have got enough quality within our ranks to ever see on a regular basis these young lads come to the forefront. And that's where you have to rely on Mr. Hobbs, Mr. Shee, top people at Fosun to say, we've got to try and be inventive now, and we've got to get depth in from 1 to 14 is good, Dave. Very good. And that 1 to 14 beats top teams in the league. 14 to 20, Dave. 15 to 20, sorry, is very poor. And when you're filling your bench with two goalkeepers, a 15-year-old, a few 16-year-olds, Dave, you can't do that in the Premier League.
No, you're gonna absolutely get, you're gonna can't. Get and to be fair, mate, if we were hadn't got the points on the board, we'd all be sweating at this point.
Oh, yeah.
The thing with the academy, and I think Brian will think to this, also the academy and bringing players through and loans, it's also a revenue generator. So they'll bring players through, they'll sell them on for £3-5 million, and it'll bring revenue in that way if they're not going to make it through. We've sold a few of them off. It's brought some coffers into the thing. Obviously, because the way that FFP and PSR rules work, because they're a homegrown player, it's all 100% profit on the bank.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Balance. I'm going to come to Lewis in a minute because I'm sure he'll have some opinions on players and stuff like this. There was a question earlier and we are taking note of your questions, by the way, and you will be able to ask us some more direct questions. Someone asked you, would you take Che Adams for next season?
Absolutely, absolutely, but not as the main strike.
See, I'm exactly the same. I'm with you on that one. I think, because I put a thing about Che Adams and people were going, we don't want him. And I'm like, Che Adams has played 4 years in the Premier League. Okay, he got relegated with Southampton. He's been a starter with Southampton all year, scoring loads of assists and goals.
15 goals, 5 assists.
His contract's out at the end of the season. Might cost a little bit more on the old agent and, as Lewis mentioned before, and thingy fees. But, like, if he comes in and we bring in another number niner, you know, with him, and you've got Che Adams. I think that's a good bit of business, personally. I'll say this, Dave, quickly.
Just quickly, sorry to butt in. If we'd have had Che Adams playing against Coventry, and I know people are going to absolutely ridicule me for this, and Fabio Silva on the bench or the other way round, again, they play 15 yards further back in their own half, and we win that game, Dave.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying I want Che Adams as our number one striker.
I don't see him being the number one striker, but on a free as a squad player to give us depth at
15 to 20.
Yeah. And then we bring in another number nine, who's kind of like the main man, and hopefully they've got people targeting it, someone like that as well. I mean, that Garoppis or whatever, he went to Benfica from Coventry last year. What's his proper name? I can't think of
it.
Yeah, so like, you know, we were linked with him. We didn't have him. Oh, he's from the Championship. He's now like worth 80 million. One player I want to mention, and I want to ask Sutty and Lewis next your opinion, and Josh and Boston, chip in if you want. There's a striker in the Championship that's playing in a team that's fighting relegation for Blackburn, who's the top scorer in the Championship, and he's playing in a crap team. Is he not someone like Wolves should be looking at? Again, like the Coventry strike, if he's scoring goals for Blackburn and he's the top scorer in the whole of the Championship playing in a team that's fighting relegation, is he not someone that we should be looking at potentially getting in for £5 to £10 million as well, Sutty and Lewis?
Jared Bowen, Ollie Watkins, Tony, they've all come from the Championship, all of them. Of course we should be looking at him, Dave. Of course we should be saying, if we can get him for...
I'm not sure how many goals he scored. Maybe someone can put it in the
chat. Who are you on about, Smodic or Gallagher?
I think it's Smodic. He's the top scorer in the Championship.
He's Irish, isn't he, I think?
Yeah, he is, yeah. 28 years old. Yeah. Irish attacking midfielder, got him on foot mob.
He's the top scorer in the championship playing for Blackburn. Lewis, you know the one I'm on about.
No, I hadn't heard of him until you just mentioned it, Dave. But I was listening to what Sutty was saying about how, one through 14 is good, but obviously the rest, 15 through 23, is not. And I completely agree. I don't think anyone, can disagree with that this season. But I just had a quick look at the bench for our first game back in the Premier League against Everton back in 2018. And, obviously now there's a lot more. It was, I think, three more places on the bench now than there were back then. But the bench is a lot stronger. And that was when we first kind of got back into the Premier League. And I think it doesn't look good that I think... when you've been in the league for five seasons and your bench looks worse than it did when you got to the league, obviously, it's quite reductionist to look at it in that way, just two games. But yeah, I think there's a lot of work to do in terms of depth. And I think, everybody here knows there's going to be sales this summer, but probably at least two players. And I think it's a really tough decision for the owners and the scouting team to decide how to spend that money that's going to be available to them. Because if you sell Aitnori, and you take a good transfer fee for him, it's obviously you want a similar quality left back coming in. But then also you can think, well, we could get two or three players with that money, and I think it's a really difficult decision to make, because we now have to get back to the standards which we had when we first got to the league, which is not really the position I think lots of people would have hoped to have been in 5 years later.
Yeah, I mean, talking of sales, obviously there's five players that stick out straight away, top quality. You talk about Kuna, Pedro Neto, Joe Gomez, Aitnori, and there's probably another one that I've missed off there. That they're the big ones that could command a fee. I really hope that Nelson Semedo gets a new contract as well. I think
one year left in the summer.
He's only got 1 year left, so I think he's earned that. He looks at home there. Wing backs, in terms of, you know, Hugo Bueno, like Sutty said, he's got a lot of ability and talent. I really do think we need to, you know, in the summer, defensively, centre back wise, we've got to strengthen. I think seeing how many goals we keep conceding, Dawson being out, you've got quite a young central defence there. We Totti Gomez, I know Max Kilman, you know, and then obviously you've got what's his name?
Santi Bueno.
Santi Bueno that's coming in as well. They're all fairly young for centre backs. We need a proper. Yeah, I think we need to strengthen. I mean, I wouldn't be averse to Yerson Mosquera coming back on that right side as well. But I do think we probably need him and another one. You know, the midfield doesn't look too bad for me if we don't sell anyone. I wouldn't want to sell Ryan Aitnuri because I think he's so versatile. He's so talented, and he just, you know, he can play off that side and he can pull you up the pitch. And if we do sell a Pedro Neto, you know, like Sutty said, we need players. And that's how Gary O'Neill likes to play. He likes to be able to run the ball up the pitch with pace. And if you start taking these players out of the squad, you're back to square one again. So, you know, it's going to be a very important summer on what's going to happen. But like, we 100% we need two number nines. Che Adams, I'd take him. And spending 20, 25 million on a proper proven number nine, or, you know, bringing, you know, the guy from Benfica that was saying, oh, we won't buy him for 100 million. I'm not saying that we should buy him now. I said we should have bought him last year.
Yeah, like, Pedro.
Yeah, the guy that's in Benfica now. The one that's scoring the goals, Gorecki's or whatever. He's, I can't remember. But we had the chance.
The one who's listening, Dave.
Lisbon. We had the chance, we didn't take it. And like Sutty said, there are still nuggets that you can get from the Championship. They're battle hardened. They're not academy players that are ready for that step up. And in a team like ours, with better quality players around them, and a manager that can get them to play in the formation and the system they want, they'll step up. They'll go on again. So I don't think anyone should be like going, oh yeah, they're in the Championship. Because let's face it, as a team, we go, yeah, oh, we're a selling club. Our players, big teams just come in and pick our players. Well, we're a big team. We're a Premier League mid-table team. And we should be able to go to a Championship team or whatever and pick off their best players as well and bring them into our team, because that's a step up. Brian and Josh, any more thoughts on that before we get back to the game and man of the match and all that sort of stuff?
I say, unfortunately, I think with this new ruling coming in the summer, with this 80% of profits, I think the league's pretty much screwed on sales of players and clubs, big teams nipping best players off smaller teams. I think you're going to see a lot more of that over the next few years with that rule coming in.
Well, there's no guarantee that rule probably won't come in for next season.
Is it not next season?
I wouldn't imagine so. It'll be, if they're going to bring something like that, it'll be like it's happening from. It's like with the betting companies,
they voted on it, didn't they?
They've voted on it. There's a couple of options with that. Interestingly enough, this is kind of like the European model where it's 70% of turnover.
Yeah.
So it's 70% of your turnover or of your wages or whatever that you can be spent on wages. And they brought it in. It was 90%, 80%, 70%. They phased it in.
Yeah.
But also, they're looking at doing it so that a Champions League club who's got more money to spend can only spend 70% of their turnover. Whereas if you're not in a European competition, you can spend up to 85% to try and balance it out. And the other option that a lot of teams are looking at is this luxury tax. So if they go over, they will get fined a lot of money.
Yeah.
But that money
goes to teams like us who've recouped this season.
Teams that have stayed within the rules, that money will go to all the other teams for stopping within the rules. And if they go over a certain barrier, they will still get a points deduction. So it's kind of like a lot of other teams are kind of going, yeah, well, you go and spend all the money that you want and you'll get a massive big bloody fine. There'll be millions and millions of pounds. And then at the end of the season, there's a pot and that money then gets shared across to all the teams that are stuck within the rules. So it's kind of like a double punishment type of thing. So I know they just throw it away and they don't care, but the money still goes, that fine goes to the other clubs. But there's a few things on the table.
Yeah, but since FFP has been around, you know, the likes of Man City and Chelsea and other teams as well have totally ignored it, haven't they? You know, they're just able to pay the fine. We've got all the money in the world, we'll pay the fine. But this season with Everton and Forest and Leicester and Leeds now have been dragged into it, aren't they? You know, it's been a shot across the bows, hasn't it, really? And I think people are starting to panic because they're saying, like, you know, could lose points. And that's what it should have been from day one, not money. Because it was all about trying to level the playing field. And it's done nothing but put the bloody playing field like this. You know, it isn't a level playing field at all. It's not having the desired effect, you know. So you can't just hit people with money. Yes, hit them with money, but points as well. Yeah. And the thing I saw the other day was they're trying to change the rules now so that Man City get away.
No. Change the rules so that Man City can get off. I think I don't buy that at all. Man City's case is that they're already investigating those. The process has started. You know, there's 105 cases. I don't think they're trying to change the rules so that Man City can get out of it at all because it's historical. So they will be judged under the rules that there were at the time. These are going forward. These will be going forward and what will happen. So I don't see that. I know this is all paper talk. I can't not see for 1 million at one point that it's so Man City can get out of having to, these things. Because no one like an Everton or a Forest or... You know, there's a lot of teams that they're stuck by the rules. They ain't going to stand for that at the end of the day. It's the pigeons will come home to roost for Manchester City. Trust me on that. But it might take a year or 2 years till it comes. But when it
next
comes,
summer, I reckon the verdict is
it'll be a tsunami when it hits them and it'll wash them out of this damn blooming league or maybe all the way down to non-league, like what happened to Rangers and Juventus. But like changing the rules. There'd be an uproar from general fans if they did that. But I think the rules going forward, but then it's historical cases will still be on the old rules.
But personally, Dave, from a personal point of view, if it did happen, you know, they got away with it. I'd lose all faith in football. I think I'd stop watching it. You know, I'd rather go and watch my local team down the road here, Tottenham, you know, because what's the point of trying to break into this elite?
100%. And, you know, Sutty, I'm sure you've got an opinion on this, but, like, the Premier League should not turn into a cartel, which it kind of is. It's kind of like when Chelsea had all the Abramovich money, they spent their way and bought the league all the way and they could spend what the hell they want, got to where they want. I know they're struggling now because they've wasted so much money. And Man City, exactly the same thing. Their owners came in and bought the league and got to where they are. And they can sit there pretty now because they've got to the top of the summit. You know, and it's stopping a team like Newcastle, whether you agree with Piff or not, being able to spend what they want. It's stopping Wolves because Wolves and Fosun have got the money if they wanted to spend it. They've got more. They're one of the richest owners in the league, but they can't spend it again because of FFP. So, you know, they worry about teams going bankrupt and all of that stuff. But if the money's there and they can prove they got the money, then why shouldn't they be able to spend the money to buy what they want and go up? Sutty, it'd be interesting to see your opinion.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about it. Wolves are a very, very wealthy club, Dave.
Yeah.
Very wealthy. But we haven't got big gates. Now, we've had this discussion before. Do we go for it and build a 50,000-seater stadium to up our revenue, pop concerts, casinos, all this sort of stuff? Do we do that? That's going to take a long time. And obviously, that's going to have an effect on what you can spend on players.
According to Birmingham City, you could be going down to League One. It's exactly what they're planning on doing.
Well, they're planning on doing it. But, you know, American owners are a little bit different to Chinese owners, Dave. They've got to be seen to have the best of everything, haven't they? Yeah. American owners, they'll have NFL games in the middle of Birmingham before you know it.
That's what they've said. But likes of the Villa,
if you look at the likes of the Villa, they've got owners who are slightly wealthier than our single owner, not Fosun. Fosun are a huge company worth over $100 billion. The owner, the chairman, he's worth probably about $6 billion personal fortune. Yeah. So he's a really wealthy guy. Now, they wanted to go out and they had a blueprint to buy a club that was basically weeks from liquidation, Dave. Aston Villa was so close to going bankrupt.
It was.
You wouldn't believe how close they were. And that is a big football club, bigger than Wolves. Might not like me saying that. But overall, a bigger football club than Wolves. They've won the European Cup. They are going to get into the Champions League this year. Their owners are very wealthy. They have spent money. They've sold the likes of Grealish. So we might have to sell Aitnori or Neto. That's what happens. You have to do it. But they overspent last year by £125 million. The biggest singular overspend in European club history, I believe, for 1 year. Now, they're going to have to probably sell people in the summer when they've just qualified for the Champions League. How on earth can that be right when their owners are so wealthy and will bankroll it? How can that possibly be right that a club like Aston Villa can get penalised because they don't fit, Dave? They're not in the northwest and they're not in London. A bit like Newcastle, the richest football club in the world. They can absolutely blow Manchester City out the water with wealth, but they're not allowed to spend it. This cannot be right. So for me, a good idea, because FFP was brought in to stop really clubs like Berries. All of these clubs have gone up.
Leeds.
Portsmouth. Yeah, all of this sort of thing, which is, I totally get it. But instead of parachute payments, which, again, allow the relegated sides from the Premier League to have a huge advantage over everybody else in the Championship, instead of that, think of another way of distributing that parachute money down the tiers to make sure everybody's okay, or in a fund if you happen not to be in a good place. You know, businesses can go through really tough times, Dave. Their own football clubs are luxuries at the end of the day. Although it's business, they are ultimately a luxury to a lot of people. So you could put things in a system that filters money through the leagues and do away with that parachute payment. So when you're in the Championship, everybody, Dave, everybody is on a level playing field. And you tell your players, look here, if you get relegated, that's down to you because you've not been good enough and your money will go down. So there are ways of doing it, but to penalise the likes of Aston Villa, who have been, let's be honest, Dave, they've been incredible this season. It really pains me to say that. I'm not a great lover of Aston Villa, but how I wish Wolverhampton Wanderers were there, Dave. Like we all would. And they're going to get penalised and it's wrong on every level.
I think we can all completely agree on that. And that's the frustration, is the fact to me, like Chelsea and City bought the league when there was no regulations in, and then it's all got brought in to keep everything where it is. And you get the odd occasion that like Leicester will come through 1 year, and Villa have broken through this year, Newcastle last year, and look where they struggled this year as well. And it might be the same because they can't kick on to the next level.
They're not allowed to.
Not exactly. And that's the problem. And then they have to sell and struggle. And Newcastle are probably going to have to sell as well. It ain't right. You know,
we don't want to see
clubs going out of business. Yeah. We do not. But there's got to be more of a level playing field, because at the end of the day, they go on about the Super League and it having no relegation and having this little league all on their own. But like, you've got like a top six, top seven Super League within the Premier League, and it might vary from 1 year to the other, but it's still keeping it the same every year. Man City are strolling to the title year after year after year, They'll probably do it again this year with the results today. And it's, you know, you look at the Bundesliga, how fantastic is it that Bayer Leverkusen have won the Bundesliga this year, a team that's never won it. They've run away with it. They've had investment, I think. They've invested. They've stopped the cartel. They've blown everyone away. And, you know, it's great to see. I think it's good for German football that someone else has, you know, come through and won. Why can't a Villa go and through and win the league? Why shouldn't a Wolves shouldn't be able to invest and do it? It ain't right. Anyway, I think we'll have to do another video on this at a different time to talk, because I think it's quite a big, deep subject. I think it's an important one. Lewis, Lee Moore Windows, man of the match. Your Fox at Chivalry performance rating, your moment of the day.
I think man of the match yesterday. Cunha is, you know, that so often you see players running down, you know, on their own, making a run into a position where he was, and they lose the ball or they lose the, it will kind of just run out. But he had such a moment of quality just to be able to turn the defender and then find that top corner as well. It was a really good goal. And it was just good to see him back as well. You know, I saw a lot of the comments saying the same thing. We have missed him up front. I think it was probably you could notice that loss probably the most out of all the injuries we've had this season. He was the one you missed the most. So yeah, I'd say him for man of the match. Performance, I'd say 6.5, Dave. I thought, obviously, like I said, Cunha's moment of quality was good, but I didn't see quite enough. You know, to say, well, we're going to win the game. You know, I didn't really see enough that. No, sorry, I did see enough that maybe I felt Nottingham Forest could get back in and get a winner. So I couldn't give it any more than 6.5. And then moment of the day would have to be the goal. Yeah, Cunha's goal.
Chris Runfrey says, Leverkusen is a state-owned club, Dave. They are despised by German fans. I'm sure they are, apart from everyone outside of Bayer Leverkusen. And I saw them on the pitch. I'm sure they're not despised. That they, you know, they've just won the league. As I said, with the Newcastle thing, with the people, whether you like it or not, they've got the money. The example there's in the Bundesliga, and they, you know, they might be despised, maybe they are, but they've won the league. And if you're a Leverkusen fan, I think you don't care.
I'll just quickly say, Dave, I don't want the Tory party owning Wolves. Put that on record, Dave.
I don't think we want any political party owning any of our clubs. We're just sticking to football. Right, Brian, turn yourself off mute, mate.
Sorry, I was coughing earlier. Sorry about that. Did you see Leverkusen's stadium though today? I don't know, you saw it, it's fantastic. Yeah. Anyway,
say that again, Brian.
Leverkusen's stadium. It's a beautiful stadium, isn't it? So, yeah. You know, as Sidney said before, we probably are at that stage where we need a new stadium. But that's a separate talk there. Man of the match, Cunha, without a shadow of a doubt. He was head and shoulders the best player on the pitch. I mean, from both sides. Gibbs White, you know, he has got talent and he had a good game. But he was nowhere near Cunha's performance. He was fantastic, Cunha was. The rating I'd give, as Lewis said, 6.5, you know. Yeah, 6.5. Yeah, I couldn't give it any higher than that, really. We were a bit sloppy giving the ball away, and everybody was guilty of that, though. Apart from Cunha, well, he was guilty of that, though, giving the ball away, weren't they? You know, even the players who did all right. I thought Sarr had quite a good game yesterday. I thought he wasn't fanning about at the back with it, was he? Which he's been doing a bit lately. Going back to Monday's game at Kidderminster, so I meant to point this out as well. We gave a goal away doing exactly that. You know, I thought, oh my God, you know, what? It's like as if they're playing. It wasn't Monday. We nearly gave a goal away on Monday, but we gave a goal away on Thursday night, didn't we, the under-17s? Exactly the same circumstances, you know. A bit like, you know, when we intercepted the ball in and Cunha nearly scored. Gomez nearly scored, and the you know, we gave a goal away like that. I blame Man City, I do, for that, you know, because they got the players to do that. And then everyone tries to copy them. I just think it's, you know, we haven't got, everybody has got a Van Dijk or a Ruben Diaz, do they, playing there, or John Stones, you know. So anyway, so I'll give it 6.5. And my mom went to the day, Saar's assist. He gets an assist for that, doesn't he?
Actually, he did, because he threw the ball out, which is, we've got done for that a couple of times, trying to get the ball away, and he actually did the right thing. Josh, yeah. Over to you.
Match rating, 6. Like Brian said, can't give it any more than that. There was glimpses going forward of what's happened this season, but too many sloppy balls in midfield and defensively still a bit frail at times. I forgot about, Brian mentioned Saar. I forgot about those two impeccable saves, one where he did flap and I don't know where he got his hand to it. And then it was like a double save in a few seconds, and then long after the where's they hit the post as well. But my man of the match, it's got to be Cunha. It's good to see him back on at pace, running from the halfway line. And it was a bit of a, I know it was going the other way, it was a bit of a glimpse back of what Afobe did those years ago, where he picked the ball up at the halfway line and just ran. Apart from when Afobe did it, he stayed in the middle. Cunha's gone left, turned the players inside out on the left-hand side and put it in the top bin.
Fantastic.
So Cunha, man of the match for me. And a 6 rating.
Sutty?
Cunha, man of the match. A 6. I feel it looked like two poor sides yesterday, Dave, with the odd glimpse of something half decent every now and then. It was a good game to watch, but
it was a good game.
I like going to the City Ground. It's a proper ground. You know, I'd have nothing at all against Nottingham Forest if it wasn't for a certain player.
He won't be there next year anyway, mate. He'll be gone.
Another team, they've been a bit gung-ho buying players. Well, very gung-ho. And they're going to get penalised. But teams are just not going to be able to compete if they're not allowed to spend. But as we say, we've sort of already spoke about that. So Cunha's goal is my moment of day, along with having first and third in the national, Dave. So
I am Maximus.
I got that, and I got the third place source. Can't remember what it was called now. Yeah, so I had Maximus to win, and then I had the each way on the third place source. And for someone that never gambles, Dave, I'll take that all day long.
Was the third place 40-1?
28-1.
28.
That's nice. Right, we're going to be moving in just for a little bit of talk on the title race and the relegation for a second. And as I say, we're also going to be towards the end. Apart from doing a few questions, we're also going to be asking everyone for their top three movies for you to all watch. I do want to just share with you a screen, if I can. Present, share screen. I don't know if this has come on the screen or not yet. Let me just bring it up. So, yeah, so the Always Wolves website, as you can see, is there. It's alwayswolves.co.uk. We've got loads of articles. We've got player ratings. We've got the report. We've got we even have the press conferences on there. We've got the 6 things we learned, which is quite a good one this week as well. Kuna is back. Wang is nearly back. We need Ryan Aitnuri back. Dawson might not be back. Time to let it go. Home run. That was written by our producer, Emma, this week as well, which I thought was really, really good. So take a read of that. We've also got some great ones done from some other of our guys as well. You can also check out some offers on the site, some different things. There is the Wembley Wonders. If you click through on that, you can go through to get your tickets for the to the Wembley Wonders as well, which is quite good. There's other offers on there as well. And the other thing that I would want to say is, if you are interested in becoming a writer for alwayswolves.co.uk, because we've got a lot of volunteer writers, you can get in touch with our admin on admin@alwayswolves.co.uk or message us on Twitter, or is it called X, Instagram, or alwayswolves.co.uk, and we'll get you involved. Right, let's talk about today. Let's talk about the title race and the relegation system, the relegation, because today it's like it's almost like the Championship. Who wants to win the Premier League? Let's have a look at that table. Let's bring that, put that table up on the screen. As you can see there, there's your Premier League table. Manchester City, once again, as they always tend to do in about April time, they go on this winning streak, 73. Arsenal losing today to Villa at home, 2-0, two late goals. Liverpool lost 3-0 at home in the week again, you know, at Anfield, in, you know, Klopp's last dance. Well, it's not going to plan in the Europa League. They're almost certainly out unless they can, big turnaround. Villa now up to in pole position in the Champions League. I know Tottenham have got a game in hand, but it's a big win for Villa. Then when we look at the bottom, it looks to me as it's Sheffield are down and out. Burnley still got an outside chance with five games to go, but they need to put two or three wins together. Luton are still scrapping and fighting. Forest, they've appealed their four-point deduction, which they, you know, they're hoping to get reduced, but because they've appealed it, they could get another 2 points. Everton now on 31. Brentford and Palace pulling away. I want to ask the guys, who is winning the Premier League? Wolves have got a big part to play, and this is why I'm bringing it up. We've got Arsenal next week. We've got City, and then we've got Liverpool match of the last match of the season. Who is going down? We'll go with Lewis first.
I think Man City will win the league, Dave. I said to Lucas a couple of weeks ago, if Man City win every game that they have left, they will win the league because they won't slip up, and Arsenal and Liverpool will. And obviously, I didn't know when it would be, but I just felt that Man City are too good to lose a game. Obviously, it wasn't fully in their hands. They depended on Liverpool or Arsenal, and Arsenal losing it. And now there's that gap at the top that they won't lose. They have that experience. I think it was interesting to see, obviously, after the Liverpool game, Arsenal played at 4:30. As much as in the interview, Arteta tried to play it down, like the impact of that result, the Arsenal players would have been aware that Liverpool have lost. And I think it just shows that Man City have a different level. You know, that they played on Saturday, so it's a bit different. But I think that defeat for Liverpool maybe just influenced Arsenal and their players. And I think had they not lost Liverpool, I don't think Arsenal would have lost either today. You know, as much as Arteta said it didn't affect him before the game in the team, it did. You could see that the performance was definitely not up to their usual quality. And I saw a couple of comments that Villa really went to play at Arsenal. I think, you know, they would have been expecting that too. I think, you know, it was just we have a chance now to get clear, and they didn't take it. And I think for relegation, like you said, Sheffield are down. I think that's been the case for a couple of, maybe even months now, that they knew that they had a very small chance of surviving. I think Burnley, I'd like them to stay up because I think Burnley, they try to play, you know, they do try and play, but, you know, you have to be sensible too, and you have to be realistic. It would be nice if a team could come up and play and stay up, but I think it would be a step too far for them, given the way they've played. And I think Nottingham might go down, especially with this points deduction. I really think that Luton are going to stay up and Nottingham will go down.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah. Lewis just said, I think it's City's to lose now. The only thing that could possibly be a spanner in the works for them is as they progress in the Champions League, but it's not a given that they're going to win this week. You know, I mean, Real Madrid have got, you know, Bellingham playing for them. You know, it's not a given that they're going to go through. But if they do go through, they've got midweek games, haven't they, coming up to the end of the season. They've got a game that they've got to rearrange from. Well, it's been rearranged, but the one that they missed next week, or they're in the semi-final. So that, you know, that's the only thing that could stop them, I think, is
accumulating games.
Yeah, exactly, and having to play every few days. But their squad is like, you know, I mean, gosh, almighty. I mean, you know, we'd struggle to be in their second team, wouldn't we? Let's be honest about it.
Maybe the first team, and we probably, you know. We've done the double over Tottenham and Chelsea. We've still
we have.
Over City. Well, it'd be so typical Wolves.
I have to say though, Dave. I mean, that month when we were beating, Tottenham and Chelsea twice, you know, because we played them on Christmas Eve, didn't we? You know, in a few months of that, I thought we could beat anybody. But of course, that we needed everybody fit. You know, if we had Neto and Wang and Cooney, you know, and even Belgard, you know, I mean, you know, if you had everybody, Dawson, you know, as well, if you had everybody, you know, everybody has injuries, don't they? You know, that's the thing.
So you go so with City?
I think City now, I think they blew today, Arsenal.
Going down?
Obviously, Sheffield United and Burnley, I think they're gone now. By the way, did you know yesterday was, we are mathematically safe? That was yesterday. That happened yesterday.
Great.
Because Luton lost and we got a point. So we can't actually go down. I think it might be Luton, sadly. I'd like them to stay because of Rob Edwards. Yeah. And also, you know, they do give it a go, don't they? They really give it a go. But I think Forrest have probably got, you know, that centre half for them is a beast, isn't he? The guy who cleared it off the line, yeah. Really good player, actually, yeah. But, you know, I think they've got enough. I think they've got enough to win it. I haven't looked at the fixture list at all, but I think they've got enough to probably stay up.
Well, Forrest have got to play Everton.
Well, yeah, okay, so that could be
next Saturday.
Is that next Saturday?
Yeah.
So that could be
Chelsea tomorrow as well, Everton have.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've got tomorrow, haven't they? But I think, it's obviously going to be, I think it's going to be, well, Everton, yeah, they could get dragged into it, couldn't they? If they got Chelsea tomorrow, mind you. Chelsea's struggling to beat Everton at the moment, aren't they? You know, I think City to win it, and the three that are probably there now are going to go down.
Josh?
City to win the league. I think today's helped them massively, unless there's any more banana skins for them. But I don't think they will. City to win the league.
They do it every year. They just
This has been tight, but after I think they'll pull away now. Liverpool and Arsenal's rug have been pulled from underneath them. The only other team I thought that would have done it if they'd have won today would have been Arsenal. City to win the league. And the three to go down, I've just been having a look. Sheffield United and Burnley, definite. I've had a look at the fixtures of the teams that between Everton, Forest and Luton. I'm going Forest in 16th on 33, depending on the points deduction. Luton in 17th on 32 and Everton in 18th on 31.
Oh, I'd love them to go, man. I would love Everton.
I think Everton could drop. They've got one win in 12. And they've got to play. Who have they got to play? I've had a look. Chelsea, Forest, Liverpool, Brentford, Luton, Sheffield United, and Arsenal on the last day.
They've got some very winnable games there, Everton, though, haven't they? But equally, games that against opposition, if they don't win, it could turn the tide. Sutty.
Man City.
Yeah. So we're all in agreement that they're probably going to parade to the winning the trophy again.
They're the best team, Dave. By quite a margin. Best depth, best manager,
best businessman
running it, so they'll win it. Obviously, the Premier League will love them winning it because they're their flag bearers for the Premier League. I'm going to go for Sheffield United to go. They've gone. Burnley will go, I think, which is quite sad, really, because it proves the point that you can be absolutely outstanding in the Championship and basically, Dave,
just an interesting point on Burnley, actually, because we're listening to this on the way back from the Burnley game. Listening to the radio, and a lot of the Burnley fans were going, he basically changed the entire team. He had a team that did really well in the Championship, and that team is he loaned out and bought a load of another player. He didn't stick with the nucleus of that team, and I think that's what's cost him.
Dave, a lot of those players were on loan last season, a bit like Forrest when they came on.
Ah, right, interesting.
Yeah, like Nathan Teller was on loan from Southampton. Horwood Bell.
The loan system can work for you when you're there, but then when you get up, there's a lot of work.
Go back, yeah.
That happened to Forrest as well.
I think Forrest will go, Dave, because I think it's a very... I think you're actually pretty stupid appealing such a small points deduction.
Yeah. Do you know what, Sooty? Wolfie, who is called Wolfie from Forrest Fan TV, and if you watched any of that, I had this exact debate with him, and I'm like, so Forrest have got away with a four-point deduction because they complied, unlike Everton. So they've got 2 points taken off the six that we're going to give them for saying, thank you for working with us. And now you're going to argue against it and try to get it reduced. But you can also end up getting those 2 points back because, hold on, you've worked with us and we've been lenient on you and giving you 4 points. And now you're moaning about it. So I'll tell you what, you're going to have your 2 points back.
And I think that could drop them, Dave.
Yeah. I just think it's bizarre. It's like an Everton appealing against their 2 points as well. Just take it and run. Yeah, you know, it's like
4 points
and run. With the Forest one as well, apparently they said they won't find out until end of June.
Well, we'll see.
So they could be mathematically safe. Luton or Everton could be going down. And then it all changes come the end of June.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Be interesting. Oh yeah, that'd be interesting. I mean, funny enough, again, Wolfie on Forest Fan TV said that if they didn't win against Wolves, he was saying that they were going to go. He said they have to beat us, and they didn't. But then I did say, you never beat us, mate. Yeah, you beat us in the League Cup on penalties after we should have had a blatant penalty when he took his heel off. But they haven't beaten us. Since 2013, I think it's something like 10 or 11 games. They've won one. I think that was a League Cup. So
they beat us at Molineux the year we won the Championship. They beat us 2-0. They had two on goal.
That was it, yeah. 2013.
That week is Norwich, wasn't it? We lost to Norwich and Forest in the same week.
Yeah. So, interestingly, it'll be... In some ways, I do want Forest to stay up because, like, they're a Midlands club. They are. It is a proper ground with proper fans and stuff. And the Morgan Gibbs White thing, I think if you read the eight, the things learnt that Emma's wrote, and then the last thing is move on. And it's like, move on from the Morgan Gibbs White thing. To be honest, if Forrest stay up, he won't be there again. He won't be there next year anyway. He'll be gone.
And we'll have some clause coming our way.
I'm sick of going to London 8 times, you know, 5 times in a month. It's like, what, you know, nice to go to Forest because it's only an hour's drive. And I did enjoy the fan park, so that was quite good. But it'd be interesting to see who does go down. So, like, it's obviously going to be between Forest, Luton and Everton. They seem to be the three that's going to go down. Guys, we've got, like, nearly 500 of you watching live. I'm sure plenty more of you will be watching this back on catch-up on YouTube and also listening to it back on the podcast. So if you are watching it live, take a second, smash a like. Let's see whether we can get up to 150 likes on the video. It helps us out. Let's YouTube. We put these things on for you to get involved and listen. So the least you can do is smash a like on the video. And if you are brand new watching, hit that subscribe button again. That would be appreciated. Really would. And if you're watching it back on catch up, leave it in the comments, smash a like. And if you're on podcast, leave us a nice little 5-star review. Right, to finish off, we're just going to have a little bit of fun and then we've got questions. And this is movie madness. So this is everyone's top three favorite movies. And we're going to go round 3-2-1. So we're going to do it in a slightly, well, we'll do it in the same order. We'll go Lewis first. Who's number three on your list?
Number three would be Grown Ups, Dave. I really like really easy to watch films, and you know, rubbish films that are, you know, they're never going to win awards or anything in film industries and things like that. But I really just like the relaxed nature of the film. You know,
great one, Brian. Your number three.
Number three is Being There. It's Peter Sellers. It wasn't actually his last film, but it was his last completed film while he was alive. He actually died in the middle of making another one, but it was his last completed. It's a fantastic film. It's you really got to think about it though. It's all about misunderstandings, you know. He plays this guy who's a gardener, and he's a very simple man. It's all about misunderstandings, and it's a very subtle film, but it's well worth watching. Yeah, called Being There.
Fantastic. Number three for you, Josh.
My number three was close between two Christopher Nolan films, but I've gone with Inception.
Now that's a very deep film. That's
it's a head scratcher.
Is kind of like a multi-level film to do with dreams and dreams
within a dream within a dream, and it's
that says a lot about you. And that, because it's one of them films that you can really get lost in.
Yeah,
if you have to watch it.
I was stuck between that and Tenet, but I went with Inception.
Inception. Sooty.
British film. This Is England.
Aha! Proper film, that classic. Do you want to tell people what it's about?
It's about a young boy in the early 80s, grows up on a sort of roughish council estate in Hull, and gets in with a load of skinheads, and it's in a time when like the National Front and what have you is at its peak, redundancy, social decline, pretty dark, Dave, and doesn't really have a happy ending, to be honest. And there was a series made after it, two or three series.
It was,
And it was just incredible.
Is there another film as well to follow it up?
I'm not so sure, but the director's called Shane Meadows. Vicky McClure is in it. Lots of famous British actors, but real, real top notch. Like, watch.
That's a great choice. Well, it's definitely worth watching as well, as is Inception and everyone that you hear. So I hope you're writing all these down, because these are the ones that you can put on your list to your favourites to watch. Lewis, your runner-up?
I went with a film from my childhood, which was Up. Really good Disney film.
Cartoon.
Yeah. I think Pixar, actually. But yeah, really good.
Guy with a balloon.
Yeah.
Up, fantastic. Number two, runner-up for you, Brian.
Crikey, I've been writing loads down here, and I just remembered another one. But I was going to say French Connection, but I'm going to change that now. I'm just going to change that. You know, I love the French Connection, but I just thought when Sooty mentioned that one, there's another British film called Dead Man's Shoes. Really, you know, it's a brilliant film. Paddy Considine's in it. You know, you don't get it till right at the end. You know, it's an amazing film, really. It's well worth watching. You know, you can get it on various platforms. You know, it's quite available, but it's got a cult following. But I won't spoil it for you. But it's a great ending. Yeah.
Josh, your silver medal.
So for me, not to get confused with the TV, well, same sort of thing, but it follows on from the film. Not to get confused with the TV series currently out on Netflix, Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman film from 2019. It's got a lot of twists and turns in that, hasn't it? At the end, there's just one massive complete turn. You're like, well, how's that happened? That's a brilliant film.
Sooty, your silver medal.
Dead Man's Shoes, Dave.
Oh, wow.
Dead Man's Shoes. You can see that. Dead Man's Shoes.
Yeah.
There somewhere. Dead Man's Shoes, Shane Meadows. Again, same man who did This Is England. Really dark, this one, Dave. And like Brian says, you have got to watch this right to the end and you'll go, oh, my God.
Dead Man's Shoes. Neil said it's like a horror movie.
It is like a horror movie. It is, but really, you will, you will will Paddy Constantine on in everything that he does. I can't say any more than that. You will be, you'll be applauding him, Dave, for what he does. He's incredible in it.
I don't think Emma, have we ever seen that film? No, we haven't seen it. So we'll have to.
Is it the one where he's got his shaven head and he's wearing a green parka?
He's got his army. He's got his army gear. His army gear.
Sin snippet.
Definitely, definitely have to watch that then, Lewis. Your champion, your favourite film, your recommendation, your gold medalist?
It would be another Guy Ritchie film, Dave, and it would be Snatch. I think there's so many subplots in that film. And it's so, you know, I think it's got a bit of everything. It's got a bit of comedy in there, a bit of action. You know, I just really, I think it's such a well-rounded film.
Very good. Carl Whitehouse, there's a few from Forrest Gump, League of Gentlemen, Oppenheimer. There's loads of you putting all your stuff in there, you know, Roadhouse. Keep putting your films in there for everyone. Brian.
Yeah.
Who's on the top? Who's on the number one spot for you?
Barbie. No, I'm only joking.
Barbie.
I'm only joking. No, I stumbled on.
What's wrong with Barbie?
Not my cup of tea. I stumbled on this film. We went to the cinema to watch this because we do go to the cinema, me and my wife. You know, we've got an independent cinema down here. And it's Three Billboards Outside Epping, Missouri. We went to watch it when it first came out, and it's a Francis McDermott film, you know. Absolutely brilliant film. It's about a lady who's lost her daughter been murdered and that, and she's trying to find the culprit, of it, and you're not getting much help from the police. It's an excellent film, and it's an open ending at the end.
Loving it. And Josh?
I'd love to put a Marvel film as my number one, but I can't because they're that intertwined now. I can't put an individual film down. You've got to watch certain films to watch others.
During the pandemic, I watched the entire Marvel universe in order of, and it's not in order of film made, it's in order of the stuff. Yeah, to get me, help get me through, which was interesting.
But I know this is.
What's your favourite Marvel film, just as a matter of interest?
I do love the original Iron Man, but it's got to be Endgame, the way it finished everything off of that stint.
Yeah. Okay. So your actual number one.
Actual number one, although it's classed as a film trilogy that this film is in, it's another film that features Paddy Constantine, but he's not the main character. It's Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, okay. Why do you like that?
My first time I ever watched it, I was about, 10? And I'm sitting there thinking, what was going on? My brother ended up walking out. And then as I've grown up, I've watched it and watched it again, and it's just hilarious. Sean, Simon Pegg.
And they the people that do Shaun of the Dead and really good. All of them sort of things as well, the same people.
Sure, the trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz and World's End. But when you stick them two together, I think that they're a really good duo.
Loving it. Sutty, your champion, your top recommendation?
For me, Dave, the greatest film ever made. Part of a trilogy, but number two... The Godfather, I don't think, for me, nothing comes near it.
So The Godfather, this middle film?
Yeah, Godfather 2, Dave. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's great. I love The Godfather trilogy. I'm going to throw a few of my favourites out there. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, do love that. Pulp Fiction. Classics, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. Great film. And one thing, there's a film called Clouds. If you want to cry, Clouds. It's a true story. It's very that you'll cry. And just for you, Josh, I don't know if you've seen this film, but if you have not seen it, when you come off here, you have to watch this film because if you like Inception, you're going to love this. Cloud Atlas.
Right, noting that down.
Make sure you watch this. Cloud Atlas, it's either a 1 or a 10 when people watch it. It's one of them that's so deep. It's multiple timelines about people meeting again and again in multiple timelines. Yeah. It goes back to, like, the 1600s, and it goes through to the 25th century. There's about 7 timelines. It's got Tom Hanks in it. It's got so many famous people, all different characters. So Cloud Atlas, Josh, if you like Inception, it'll top Inception. I guarantee you, it'll knock Inception off.
Cloud Atlas. I've noted that down on my list.
there's loads of other ones. So, guys, listen, I hope you smashed a like and all that. Just to finish off with now, we're just going to do a score prediction for the nice, easy match against the team that's, you know, just lost. So they're definitely going to want to win next week, ain't they? Wolves at home to the Arsenal. Lewis, score prediction.
I'm going to go 1-1, Dave. I think something similar happened to him last season when they had a flurry of poor results after they had won. And I think even in the season before that, when they dropped out of the Champions League places, I think it's a good time for us to play them. Or, you know, I could be completely wrong. It could be the worst time to play them and they're going to come out and hit us and absolutely kill us. But I think it'll be 1-1.
I think it'll be 1-1. Boston, Brian?
Yeah, Lewis has got a good point there. I think Arsenal are going to get done by Bayern in midweek. I think they're going to lose.
Yeah, they've got another game, ain't they?
Yeah, they got Bayern Munich before us.
Nice.
At Munich. So I think they're going to lose that game, which will get them into, as Lewis said, a bad run. So I don't think we're going to win. Obviously, Kieran and Wang back, you don't know.
Once Wang's starting, I think it'll be like his second game. He'll probably come on about 30, get 60 minutes, get about 30 odd minutes.
But I think he might come on and they'll play together, you know, Kieran for a period of time. They'll overlap, you know, so that could be, I mean, the first half hour today, I thought they were going to take Villa apart, you know, I really did. And I thought, oh, God, you know, we've got these next Saturday, you know. But they had nothing in the second half, didn't they, really? I mean, it was just... I mean, they looked like us trying to break down Burnley, you know, in the second half today. I'll go for a 1-1, yeah.
So you're going for a 1-1?
Yeah.
Okay. And Alf is going for a 1-1 as well. So, and Andy Crispy's going for a 1-1. So they're agreeing with you. Josh?
I really want to go for a draw or sneak in a win, but I just can't see it. Mm. I do think we'll get a goal. I want to say 2-1, but I know if they're going to get a second, they'll get a third. So I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. 1-1. It's a later kickoff, isn't it?
5:30, yeah.
Yeah, it's no. 7:30.
Oh,
we
did 7:30.
Yes, someone said that. It's 7:30 on a Saturday, so that's very unusual, isn't it? So, it might be under have a bit of lights in there.
Yes.
Suchi, your thoughts?
I don't think they'll lose to Bayern Munich. I think they'll beat Bayern Munich, especially after losing today. But I also think they'll beat us, Dave. I think we'll lose 2-0.
2-0. So there you go. It's going to be obviously, and then we're going to be following it up. We will do a game on an extra time on Sunday night next week, an extra time anyway. So we will look ahead to Bournemouth and Luton, but we've then got Bournemouth and Luton. The Bournemouth obviously is the rearranged from the quarter final of the FA Cup, and then we've got Rob Edwards with his Luton team coming. It's 3 home games in a week, boys.
Yeah,
that happens very often. And then we've only got Palace at home, and then we have got we've got 2 easy game away matches as well. and of course, what will obviously be an emotional Anfield last match of the season. There might be the title still might be on the line. It might be gone by then. Whatever happens, obviously, for Liverpool fans, it's going to be emotional. But we'll be there. Anyway, so yeah, I really hope you've enjoyed tonight's extra time, everyone. Thank you if you've taken time to smash a like, and if you've new and you've just subscribed, I really appreciate that. And yeah, you know, we'll keep you entertained throughout the week. Loads of content coming up in the build-up to Arsenal. And thank you for the nearly 500 have joined us live this evening. Final words from Lewis. Give us one line, Lewis, Brian, Josh and Sutty, just to finish on. Go, Lewis.
Subscribe to Always Wolves and like the video.
Oh, I like that. Nice one. Good one.
Oh, Dave, you caught me there. Just keep the faith. Keep the faith. You know, the one thing that is always consistent with football clubs is us, the supporters. Players come and go, managers come and go, owners come and go, but the fans will always be there. Just keep the faith.
Keep the faith. Loving it. And to you, Josh.
Just like summary, not well, following on from Brian, really. We are the club. We are the pack. Wolves, are we?
Wolves, are we? Sooty.
Just get me to the end of the season, Dave.
Get you to the end. And of course, thank you ever so much to Creation Walk for powering extra time. Also, brilliant well done to Chelsea, who's really making the watch along go home. She didn't lose this weekend. We did get a draw. She will be returning at the weekend for the watch-along against the Arsenal. So, yeah, if you haven't checked out the watch-along with Chelsea and her reactions, check that out, especially Wolves' second goal, because after the goal was disallowed by VAR last weekend against West Ham, she was, like, on tender hooks, but it didn't get overturned, so there was a lot of relief there. So check that out and give that a lot of love to Chelsea, and thank you for doing that for us. To all you guys, thank you ever so much for joining us live. If you're watching it back, leave your thoughts in the comment section. And until the next one, from all of us, always
Wolves.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.